The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by Eno, the Capital One Assistant. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
If you had to pick one player in the NBA, one player that you're going to put a significant amount of money on, a bet, that he would become the centerpiece of not just a championship team, but the centerpiece of a dynasty, who would you pick? I'd pick Giannis Antetokounmpo. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can answer that question, 888-729-3776. Coming up on today's show, I would suggest you turn your televisions to ESPN tonight. I would suggest you watch a fascinating, heart-wrenching, an honestly stomach-wrenching story about the fight for Alex Smith's life, his leg, and his career. Coming up in the third hour of the Will Cain Show today, Alex Smith, the Washington Redskins quarterback, who had a compound fracture on his right tibia and fibula and debridements that took away everything essentially but the bone between his knee and his ankle, is on the road to rehabilitation. He's going to join us. He's going to talk about that injury. And tonight on ESPN, there's an E60 feature where you can watch for an hour what that road traveled has been like for Alex Smith. Plus, it's Friday, and that means there's homework. We're back to homework after a week off. There was a little bit of pre-show debate about what it would be this weekend, and we settled on a category that's one of my favorites. I'm telling you, when I see a movie that comes out with this theme or this setting, I'm in. I'll watch. And it is movies that take place at sea. I know we're stretching the limits here a little bit. I know it's not exactly a genre like heist movies or war movies, but I'm here to tell you, I don't care if it's we're surrounded by sharks, if it's pirates, if it's stranded at sea, if it's a submarine movie, I'm in for movies that take place at sea. So we're going to find out by the third hour who can nominate the best movie taking place at sea. We'll put the big board together. We'll start getting our nominations throughout the show. And in the third hour, we'll go ahead and settle what the homework will be this weekend. But it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. One player in the NBA. And I'm not just talking about a championship. I'm talking about a player who would end up being the centerpiece of a dynasty. Who would you place your money on? Who is that player? For me, it's Giannis Antetokounmpo. The other night, the reigning NBA MVP went to Twitter, and he asked his followers as he was watching The Last Dance, ESPN's documentary on the final year of the Chicago Bulls dynasty, the following question. He asked, "What was your biggest takeaway from the Jordan documentary thus far?" He got something like 4,000 comments on the post, and then he shared what his biggest takeaway was, and I quote, "My MJ takeaway from the Last Dance documentary is that chasing greatness is a life mission." There's something different about Giannis, I'm telling you. I know that every great athlete wants to be great. I think that most that end up in their professional ranks of the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NHL, or whatever it may be, have something different, and that something different is rarely just athleticism. It's dedication. It's work ethic. But if anyone has watched The Last Dance, you know that doesn't come as a constant, meaning it's not just a quality and you have it or you don't have it. You have it in spades or you have it in change. You could have a 10 level or a 1 level. Stephen A. Smith often says there are levels to this. And Michael Jordan hit the highest of levels when it came to determination and effort and will to win. I see something similar in Giannis. I truly do. The dude who will not hang out with his competitors in the off season. The dude who's an immigrant from Greece and his family before that from Nigeria. This is a man who wants to be around his family, whose priority was to immigrate them to America, who realizes his career is more than just a gift, who lives to compete and win. It's not a fraternity for Giannis. It's a struggle. Many immigrant stories are like that. It's one of the reasons I love immigrant stories. I love getting in a cab in New York City. I love making friends with Uber drivers. I love hearing about what brought you here from Liberia. What better life did you have envisioned? What was your dream? I have friends today in the city who drive for Lyft or Uber, and they haven't been driving for whatever it's been now, 6 weeks. I've reached out to them. I wonder, that's got to be hard. I mean, I understand that the unemployment benefits cover the gig economy, but it's not as though that life was easy. But you know what it was? It was better than the one they all left behind. They're excited about it. And Giannis has that, man. He has that edge, that excitement, that will to not just create a better life for himself, but to win. This is what Giannis said back in November when talking about the Bulls and Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. Long before the documentary, he said, I try to lock in and focus on what I've got to do. But yeah, previous years, like when I saw 23, and not just 23, when I saw 33, that was a guy I used to talk to a lot, Scottie. It definitely motivated me. Chicago's a great basketball city. It's a city that Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen played in, so I had that extra juice in me. He always has that extra juice in him. Who's even in the running? Like when I ask you if you could bet on one player over the next, oh, I don't know. I don't think it matters. Any player in the NBA. If I asked you one player that you put a significant amount of money on who would be the centerpiece of a dynasty, you can't include LeBron. LeBron is on the back end of his career. And although he might have another championship, or maybe two, in his future, it won't be at the centerpiece of a dynasty. I don't think his teammate in Los Angeles, Anthony Davis, will be the centerpiece of a dynasty. He may win a championship, but I don't think I've seen it from AD so far to take over and never let it go. Just an iron grip to dominate your competition. Have you seen that? And I realize very well that Giannis hasn't arrived. He hasn't even won a championship. He hadn't done it yet. I'm talking about that intangible quality. Harden, no. KD's coming back from an injury, maybe. But there's a lot of unknowns, both teammates, franchise, injury recovery. Some of that applies to Steph. And then before you know it, you're getting down into young guys. Luka, maybe, on sheer talent alone. We'll see as we go what Luka's competitive will is in a playoff environment. Tatum, who I think has a lot of that in Boston, maybe. Kawhi, obviously. But Kawhi, honestly, is just a harder dude to read. Giannis is, to me, more understandable and easier for me to place my bet on. If I'm picking any of those players to be not just a championship player, but the centerpiece of a dynasty, give me Giannis all day. Hey, speaking of all day, a separate debate broke out this week on ESPN.com. It was, who would you build your franchise around? Now, this is beyond the dynasty question, but simply young player in the league. Who would you build your dynasty around? And they asked GMs across the league, 20 of them, to vote. Luka Doncic, Trae Young, Zion Williamson, Ja Morant. And the votes came back. And Luka Doncic got 17 out of 20 votes. So, as Kendrick Perkins says on The Jump, I'm not sure Luka's in this debate. Listen to this.
When we talk about Luka, a lot of conversation has been brought up throughout this season. Who is Luka arguably the greatest 20-year-old to ever come into the NBA? And that's an argument. And that just speaks volumes because you're putting them in the same category with greats like LeBron James and Magic Johnson. So I'm taking Luka all day.
He should, too. I'm talking about now who to build your franchise around, young player. Among those names I just mentioned, Luka, Ja, Zion. Who would you pick? Luka's out of the debate, as 17 out of 20 GMs acknowledged. So let's change it. A little bit later on the Will Cain Show, let's debate. Would you rather have Zion or Ja to build your franchise around? That's coming up a little bit later on the Will Cain Show, but to pick who's the centerpiece of the dynasty, give me Giannis. And that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. There has been, as we do every day, an irregular heartbeat on the pulse of optimism and pessimism when it comes to getting sports back in 2020. And the latest in college football suggests, yeah, we might be able to go with this at different paces and in different regions across the country, and maybe the SEC and the Pac-12 hit this at different times. But are we so sure that these conferences, the college football in general, that the Pac-12 is all in this together, I'm here to tell you right now, it's easy to predict atomization, individualism, differing decisions within conferences, and picturing all of college football coming back together at the same time. We'll talk about that next on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name? Check. Birthday? Social Security? Is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag. Done.
GEICO. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Told you yesterday, I believe this is the only correct take to have. Ain't nobody that knows nothing when it comes to coronavirus. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, including when sports will resume. That's coming up in just a moment here on the Will Cain Show. I wanted to talk about this. I've got sound I can play for you later. Did you notice during The Last Dance, I don't know if you ever hop on social media during like live sporting events or communal viewing habits like the documentary on ESPN right now. But there was a cut in the documentary where they talked about Michael Jordan's famous shot against the Cleveland Cavaliers. You've seen it. It's the one where he hits the shot, fading to his left, hits the ground, spins, and does that sort of washing machine fist pump you have to have seen hundreds of times by this point. Jordan's first real grab him by the throat, win the game moment. There would be many after that. But that's the one that put the Bulls over the Cavs. And it was one where Craig Elo was defending him. Ron Harper in the documentary, who later became one of Jordan's teammates with the Bulls, there was sound from him that everybody loved on social media, where he says he asked to guard Michael Jordan. And Lenny Wilkins, the coach of the Cavs, said, no, 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 we're putting Craig Elo on him. And then Ron Harper cursed and said, whatever, okay, you know, I'm out on this. Well, it turns out, as time goes on, after everybody high-fived the Ron Harper sound and talked about, oh, that's so cool on social media, that it may not even been true, of course. Craig Elo, I don't remember how that went down. I don't remember that in the huddle. Okay, you say Craig Elo has a vested interest because he got smoked by Jordan. Mark Price, I don't remember anything happening like that in the huddle. I remember Harper talking about that. I mean, Harper was a pretty decent defender, said Price, but he was sort of our offensive weapon, so we tended to rest him on defense. Okay, that's two dudes. Then Lenny Wilkins talked, and the head coach of the Cavaliers said, I don't remember anything like that either. So, as much as social media high-fived that entire moment, as is always the case when you become popular on social media, it's BS mostly in the end. Wasn't even real. Tune in to Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Chicago Bulls dynasty. The series continues this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. And listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen Jacoby immediately following the broadcast presented by State Farm and AT&T. Available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. I've got sound from Lenny Wilkins responding to that from Mornings with Keyshawn, LZ, and Travis in L.A. I'll play a little bit later here on the Will Cain Show. But let's put our finger on the pulse of optimism and pessimism as to whether sports will return in 2020. Let's look at it first through the prism of the NBA. Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN NBA Insider, Brian Windhorst, Tim Bontemps, all have articles up today on ESPN.com. And there are fascinating considerations that everybody's taking into account. There's a little more optimism, perhaps, than there was a week ago when there was more pessimism. Now there's more optimism. Next week, who knows where we'll be? You know, masks? Masks? Yes. Kids? Kids? Yes, can pass it on. It changes day to day. We don't know anything about this virus. So how do we know when something's going to come back? But there are some fascinating considerations. We always talk about the players. How about some of these coaches? Alvin Gentry, 67. Greg Popovich, 72. Some vulnerable people in that population. In the NBA, as much optimism as there's going to come back for at least a playoff run, probably is nowhere near even knowing if they're going to be able to do that. And you're going to hear that now when we spin it forward to college football with so many different voices. Some of these cuts are kind of long, so let's get to playing this. But first, this is TCU head coach Gary Patterson, who was on Golic and Wingo, talking about college football returning and the need for everybody to sort of stick together on this decision. Listen.
We want to do what's best for college football. We all kind of generally have to be on the same page when we want to start and how we want to do things. You can't have the ball both ways where I want to take my ball home, but when we're all in a lot of trouble, then we need to be a group together. So I think, you know, we're trying to get done right now is we're trying to make sure that we do what's best. You know, will we have 100% all start on the same time? Because every state's going to be different. Because, you know, the SEC or the Big 12 or the Big 10 or whatever, you know, we're on a conference call with all of them. And it comes down to that we're not the ones that are really going to make that decision at the end. It's going to be the states, you know, above them, you know, the governor, your part of the country, whatever it is. And we're all going to have to be on the same page. Is that percentage 100% that we all have to be? Is that percentage 90, 80, whatever it is? You know, we're going to, all of us want to play college football. All of us want to get going. All of us want to be able to do and be a part of the game that we love. It's just, you know, we also have to understand that the safety and welfare of our kids is going to be really, really important.
There it is. Gary Patterson saying we all need to stick together. But as he also points out, how are you going to do that with all these states? That, in fact, that's what Laura Rutledge, ESPN host, said on Golic and Wingo after that. She's like, look, these are different conferences in different parts of the country. Are they all going to make the same decision at the same time or ever? Listen.
I think you're going to see some conferences, and even just yesterday, it's such an interesting indication of how these conversations are going. You have Greg Sankey saying, hey, look, it is a possibility that, you know, maybe we just play each other and all of that. I'm not exactly quoting him, but what he was saying. And then Bowlesby saying what he was saying. Hey, look, maybe we could start the season, then we might have to stop. These are the types of things that are being said in these meetings with these people, and they're all trying to arrive at something. And really what it comes down to is it may not be something that can be unified if we're going to see this come to fruition, because you just may not be, because of the geographical situation in college football, you may not be able to say, here's one blanket idea from the NCAA, and that's going to have to work for everybody.
Absolutely. As we've been talking about here on the Will Cain Show literally for weeks, like always, ahead of the curve, helping you think about something before everybody else. In a country where there are very many different kinds of mindsets, and appropriately so, with states with different viewpoints on politics, economy, and communal decision-making, that are very different from each other, and appropriately so, how do you make a national decision? Not just in college football, in the NBA, the NFL, whatever it may be. How do you do that? Bob Bowlesby, the Big 12 commissioner you heard Laura Rutledge mention there, has talked about things like, can't imagine going to the Red River Showdown, Red River Shootout, Red River Rivalry, whatever we're calling it, today at the Texas State Fair, where there's 300,000 people gathered and outside the stadium before you get into the Cotton Bowl to watch Texas OU. He talked about his biggest fear being the virus coming back, not September, October, but November, December, when flu season starts, and his fear of not being able to finish college football. And then they've talked about splitting a season, you know, half the games in the fall, half the games in the spring. Paul Feinbaum of ESPN says spring football is an absolutely ridiculous idea. I can play you that sound a little bit later here on the Will Cain Show. But I'm here to tell you. I've talked to people who've talked to people in decision-making positions. I had a long conversation with Tom Herman, the head coach of the University of Texas Longhorns the other day, which you should go get on the Will Cain Show podcast feed. I promise you, it's a deep and fascinating conversation that you won't regret spending some time learning who Tom Herman is. As a person, as a coach, I've talked to a lot of people. Nobody knows when this is coming back. Nobody knows anything. Maybe Tim Hasselbeck. He's always certain. He's always confident. He's always got something for me. And he's next on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Life of Pi in the heart of the sea. Master and Commander, The Perfect Storm. Best at-sea movies coming up on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. You can let me know at 888-729-3776. I'm looking for answers, but not just about at-sea movies. When do sports return? Where does Andy Dalton play? And every other life's mystery can be answered by ESPN football analyst Tim Hasselbeck. What's up, Timmy?
What's up, Will? How are you?
I'm good. You cover college football. Man, I just played all this different sound. Gary Patterson says we all got to do this together. Greg Sankey sounds like SEC comes back on its own. Bob Bowlesby's like, I don't even know how we finish a season. What's January, December, November going to look like? I think in the end, like, I don't know if it just gets to survival of the fittest, like this atomization of universities and not just conferences, but individual institutions. I don't know, man. I don't know. You know what I saw Bowlesby say, Tim? He said, how do you lead by consensus in a crisis? You can't. So how do you bring college football back together at once?
Yeah, I don't think you can, you know, bring it back, you know, at once. I mean, each school, I mean, we just look at the geography right now in terms of areas that are affected. So, or impacted more so than others. So when you look at it that way, you know, there's certain schools, like I've heard people say to me, and you know, I'm originally from Boston. People say to me, like, there's no way Harvard can be having classes come September. Like, just between the international student bodies, like, some people won't even be able to get back into the country. You know, they just, then the diversity in terms of all the different areas where the students come from, the same thing with the faculty. Like, that's obviously not what you're talking about in terms of college football, but, like, think of how that impacts the Ivy League. Well, then you do the same thing. So just take, for example, just say, you know, it's the SEC. Sure. But like at the same time, like, you know, not every SEC school is going to be totally fine. You know, so I don't know. I just look at it as like one of these situations where, like, I think you're going to, listen, total guess, but as long as you're not okay with it being the same and playing for the same goal and you're just happy to see a game, then I think there's probably a way to do it. But having everybody all at once, it just seems like we're far from that.
What you described, though, is sort of where college football began. Like, that's rewind the sport 100 years, and it was a regional sport. It was for entertainment. It wasn't for some big national championship game that decides everything. It's almost like rewinding to its roots, you know? It's playing your neighbor.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's how you do it. I do think fans would be happy to just catch a game that's not a rerun, you know? And so if you weren't playing for an SEC title, but it was like, you know what, I'm cool watching these two teams play. Like, I'm good with that. Like, if sure. I just, you know, saying all of that, I think it's really interesting with college football because, you know, there's no guarantee on these campuses being opened back up. And if the campuses aren't opened back up and the students aren't there going to class, like, how can you even remotely justify having players playing?
Yeah, and I've seen, for example, Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby say, we're not going to do that if there's not students on campus.
Listen, I think it was Damian Woody who had the tweet. He went to BC, so he was probably smart enough and creative enough to come up with it on his own. So I don't think he needed to attribute it to somebody. But basically what he said is, like, it's going to be real interesting when these college football players become essential employees. You know, it was obviously a joke, but it's like, I don't think you can do that. I think you have to have your students back on campus in order for you to say that it's safe for your players to be back on campus.
Tim Hasselbeck here on the Will Cain Show. I'm going to give you an opinion. You can respond to it, but it's going to have a question baked in. I thought Jameis Winston made an amazingly long-sighted, smart decision to sign with the New Orleans Saints as a backup quarterback for much less money than he could have got on the market. I think he will emerge next year a better quarterback, a rehabilitated football reputation, and find more money and a better job. You can respond to that, but also answer me this. What's the right decision for Andy Dalton?
So I think you're right on Jameis. It's why when, you know, this situation was going on prior to the draft, I thought he should have gone to Green Bay. I thought Green Bay would have been a perfect spot for him. He's 10 years younger than Aaron Rodgers. Aaron's aggressive with the football, yet he doesn't turn it over. There's been a little bit of injury history. And so, you know, I thought Green Bay was a situation that could have been perfect for Jameis. I think the Saints aren't that far from that situation. In fact, maybe it's even a little bit better when you consider, you know, the fact that, you know, Breeze, who knows, is it 1 year, is it 2 years left? So, you know, you're closer to maybe replacing him if you're fortunate enough to do what Teddy Bridgewater did. For Andy Dalton, you know, I think Andy's situation is different. I don't think there's like this unknown, this quarterback needs to be rehabbed and then there's a bright future for him with Andy Dalton. I think people look at Andy Dalton as a guy that is kind of a sound, good football player. He's not going to carry a team, but I think there's plenty of people believe that he can play winning football. And, you know, surrounded by the right talent, he can be a, you know, top half of the league kind of quarterback. Not surrounded by the right talent, then he's not a top half quarterback. And so, you know, if you just were to look around, if I were in Andy Dalton's situation, you know, there are teams that I would look at and think, well, shoot, I can go there and help, and I can go there and probably be the starter. And so I would be looking for those. And I think there are teams that probably view him as somebody to come in and compete for a starting job.
And who are they?
Well, I mean, everyone's bringing up Jacksonville, and I think Jacksonville's legitimate. They sound like they want to have Gardner Minshew be their starting quarterback. But, you know, if I was Andy Dalton, I wouldn't be afraid to go compete for that job. I feel the same way about Denver. I feel the same way about New England. And so, you know, like if I'm Andy Dalton, you know, I'm trying to get to those places.
Tim Hasselbeck here on the Will Cain Show, coming up in about, 2.5 hours. I've got Alex Smith on the show. Tim, man, have you seen any clips yet? Or, I don't know, yeah. You may know stuff in the background. You might know, Alex, that injury, it's just so freaking awful, man. And it's beyond what happened on the field.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know what you know or what you might have to say on that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, injury on the field, you're right. Injury on the field is bad and all that. It's the infection and all of the stuff that the complications you run into afterwards. And I don't think that anyone thought that when he was leaving the field that it was going to be that many surgeries. And I also don't think that anyone thought there was going to be a legitimate comeback. So, but I think there's a competitiveness to Alex. And, you know, I'm surprised that he wants to play again. I mean, it's one thing to drop back and move around. It's another thing to have people all around your feet and, you know, potentially rolling up on you. And, you know, when you see the scars from all the surgeries and the damage, you know, to his legs, I mean, you just look at, I mean, it's just, that's forever. You know, Stefania Bell was just on NFL Live with me, you know, a few minutes ago. And she essentially said that, you know, he had a football injury on the field, but, you know, what happened afterwards made it, you know, more similar to, you know, an injury that you would see in a soldier, you know, was injured during battle. And just to kind of put it into perspective of kind of, you know, the trauma that his leg, you know, received. And I just think the mental fortitude to try to push forward and kind of be excited to see if you could make a run at playing football again is remarkable.
I do too. Tim Hasselbeck here on the Will Cain Show. Fellow Tennessee resident right now, Tim Hasselbeck. All right, man. Sure. Take care.
See you, man. Bye.
I'll tell you what, I think, like, give me a couple of segments. I want to read you some of this stuff that Alex Smith's wife wrote about their experience. She has, like, a journal, a diary she shared. I'm telling you, let me just put it to you in this short little nugget that you can understand how much we can all learn and hear from Alex and his story. He needed to have a muscle transplant to rebuild the existence of a calf They took it from his thigh because he told them, no, you can't take my lat. I'm going to read you some amazing words from Alex Smith's wife coming up a little bit later on the Will Cain Show. But let's set our big board now. Movies at sea. U571. I don't know. Let's set the big board. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
The last thing I heard before we came out of commercial break was a request from Bubba to Pat. Just please don't make it awful. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. Missing baseball? Tune in tomorrow night for a Major League Baseball Classic Game 2 of the 2017 World Series between the Astros and Dodgers, presented by Progressive Insurance. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio on the ESPN app. Our homework this weekend, we're back to it, is best movies that take place at sea. I think we already have a decent big board brainstorming session now coming together. Here's just some of them I've said so far today. It's really just been me. U571, Perfect Storm, Master and Commander. That's Commander. Sometimes my mouth does funny things when I speak. Hunt for the Red October, Jaws, The Beach, Pirates of the Caribbean, of course, Castaway. Let's hear from Jeff in Arizona. Help me out, Jeff. Fill this board out.
Hey, Will, sorry. I had Master and Commander also. I've got a classic, though. It'll be good for Pat.
Okay.
The Caine Mutiny.
The Caine Mutiny. Is that different than Mutiny on the Bounty, Jeff?
Oh, definitely. It's about a captain that goes crazy. It's known for him rolling these little steel balls in his hand at the end. Very good movie.
What year is it?
I would say 61-ish, 62-ish.
Yep, you hit the pat. You've hit the pat dartboard. All right, Jeff, I think I appreciate the call.
The name Caine Mutiny is so fitting for this show.
It really kind of is, yes.
If someone doesn't pick that, it'll be disappointing.
Mutiny on the Bounty, it's old, old, old. But I have to tell you, like, I fall down internet rabbit holes all the time and I start reading. I love the story of Mutiny on the Bounty. I don't know if you guys have ever read it, but that was a ship. I think they were a whaling ship. It was off in the Pacific Ocean, South Pacific. There was a mutiny and the ship split into two different groups and the mutineers ended up going to a small island, several small islands, married up with some locals and then ended up on this island called, I believe I'm pronouncing this right, Pitcairn Island. Here's what's fascinating, guys. Their descendants remain on that island to this day. It was a deserted island. They think they got wives in like Tahiti, took them to Pitcairn Island. And the reason you would know about it is that island has made its way back into the news in the past, let's say, 5 years. Because what happened is the population was so stagnant that the marriage pool got so small. They started, yes, lowering the marriage age. And so then there was big controversy internationally about whether or not this was pedophilia or what it might be. But it all goes back. All of this controversy, the dominoes start falling all the way back to the Mutiny on the Bounty, which I think the last remake of that was maybe in the 80s. I think there was an Anthony Hopkins version of it. It's just, I love at sea movies. I like Stranded at Sea, Life of Pi. Did you ever see Open Water with the scuba divers that were just like fighting off sharks forever? I don't know. You guys aren't talking. So Brian in North Carolina, what's up, man?
Company, we got to give some love to The Rock and Moana. Classic at sea film.
Pat, are you seeding the calls? Like, it's so far we have two nominations and one of them includes The Rock and the other one is old. It's like you're two categories, Pat. That's it. That's only two categories you pull from.
Well, yeah. I mean, I tried to pitch you guys this morning on movies starring former wrestlers or car movies or movies starring Vin Diesel, and you didn't go for any of those.
We have two nominations from the audience, and they both fall into Pattian categories. Kelly, also from North Carolina. Help me out, Kelly.
Hey, what's up, Will Cain? I nominate The Poseidon Adventure, the original. Gene Hackman, Shelley Winters. God, there was a bunch of people in that movie. Ernest Borgnine, classic struggle trying to get out of the boat, much better than the remakes.
All right. We need some more recent movies. I got one. Nuno, nominate one. Let's just see if you're good enough to nominate the one you should. Go ahead, Nuno. Go.
I'm trying to take some calls here.
Nominate a movie, Nuno. Do it.
I got to go back and look. Anything that has to do with, like, my boys Vasco da Gama or Magellan, like something of that nature. Go way, way back. You know, my
or
people.
Nemo.
Dear Lord.
I was going to, like, just try to be funny. Yes, finding Nemo and all that. But no, I might do, you know, find something to let you guys learn about my people.
I don't like our suggestion so far. Dennis in California. Help me out, Dennis.
Hey, all I have is Jaws and maybe Waterworld. The two that come to me.
Waterworld? That's a great suggestion. I had totally forgotten about Waterworld. That's going on the board right now. Waterworld. Nice. What's wrong with you, Pat?
That's the worst movies in history.
Did anyone nominate Titanic?
Titanic. There you go, Nemo. That's the kind of stuff I'm looking for from you. Pat, we're going to do a Pat quiz later in the show. That's what we're going to do. I'm surprised you know what Waterworld is. You didn't know who Cindy Crawford was. How do you know what Waterworld was?
No, I'm a Kevin Costner fan.
A Captain Imagine Phillips?
That. Good one. Look at you. You're on a roll, Nemo. Okay, really quickly, Jock from Nebraska. Make it quick, Jock.
What about Under Siege with Steven Seagal, Tommy Lee Jones, and Gary Busey?
Yes, sir. Now we're cooking. Now we're cooking with gas. Waterworld, Titanic, Captain Phillips, Under Siege. Now the board is starting to fill out. I need some more Stranded at Sea movies. I need some more true stories, too. I like those. Coming up,
Castaway.
I can't remember. Castaway. Good one, Nuno. Gosh, look at you.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to The Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.